Cash makes people feel better.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Throwing money at a problem isn't always the best solution, but in the financial markets, sometimes it's the only solution. Friday, the Federal Reserve poured $38 billion into the banking system, and that helped calm down anxious investors. Today, the Bank of Japan and the European Central Bank injected billions more into their banks. We're joined now by our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, how are the markets looking over there this morning?
Well, much steadier than on Friday. In early trading, London, Paris and Frankfurt were all up between 1% and 1.5%. It does look as if the central bank intervention that we saw on a very significant scale at the end of last week and again this morning in Japan has calmed investors' nerves.
Okay, now, Stephen, can you explain to us exactly what this money that's being pumped into the system by the various central banks is accomplishing?
Well, this has been a crisis in confidence between banks because the banks don't know the extent of each other's losses. They've been reluctant to lend to each other. So the central banks, first of all, the European Central Bank, then followed by the Fed, and then central banks around the world made money available to the banks so that money and credit could start flowing around the system again.
And what are the markets waiting on in the next few days?
One analyst told me this morning, we're waiting for the next bit of bad news. The big problem that last week's turmoil has exposed is the lack of transparency in this so-called collateralized debt obligation market. This is where thousands of mortgages are bundled together and sold on to investors. And because there is doubt about how much these are worth, banks simply do not know the scale of the losses out there.
And we know how uncertainty affects investors. not good.
It certainly does.
All right, Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Scott.
Stephen Beard in London. Despite the big plunge on Thursday and part of Friday, Wall Street actually wound up with decent gains for the week. The Dow put on 0.5%, the NASDAQ gained 1.3%, and the S&P 500 rose 1.4%. Today, the dollar gained value against the Japanese yen. Oil is trading just under $72 a barrel this morning.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
We've probably used the word subprime on this program just about every day for the past few weeks. But Alan Sloan of Fortune Magazine thinks maybe we should call these loans something else.
Well, subprime sounds like a little bit less than the best, but basically okay. And if you've done what I've started to do lately, and look at some of these mortgages we're talking about, and look how they were bought and sold and created into securities and sliced and diced, you come away with a sense of complete horror, especially as an English major, because stuff that was really garbage or trash or words I don't dare use on this program somehow ended up being rated triple A by rating agency geniuses, which meant that buying a piece of a mortgage where there was almost no way the buyer was ever going to pay was supposed to be as safe for the buyers as owning a U.S. Treasury bond.
So you think if they were called trash mortgages or garbage mortgages, that would have made a difference?
Sure. Maybe all of these people who were buying securities based on these might have had a little hesitation. But subprime, it's just such a nice word. I mean, it's so clean, Scott.
It's kind of like pre-owned instead of used.
That's right. Right, a pre-owned mortgage.
Alan, do you think that this subprime mess has taught anybody anything, or are we doomed to repeat this?
Oh, no, it hasn't taught anybody anything. Scott, I've been doing this for 40 years, and every 8 or 10 years, there's some new, I'm putting the word crisis in quotes, in the financial markets because somebody went out and made a batch of really dumb loans and was followed by everybody else. The problems used to be making loans to countries that couldn't pay. Then there were real estate problems. Then there were the junk bond takeovers. And now we have this. I mean, we won't have exactly this, but we'll have a form of it.
Forever the optimist, Alan Sloan. Thanks.
Sure.
Alan Sloan is a senior editor at large for Fortune magazine.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
Earlier this month, Mattel recalled almost a million toys because they contained too much lead paint. Mattel publicized the name of the toy manufacturer in China where these toys were made. Today, a Chinese newspaper reports that the head of that company killed himself over the weekend. He was found inside a warehouse just a few days after China banned exports by the company. Over the weekend, a team of Danish scientists boarded a ship for the Arctic Ocean. They'll spend a month mapping the region for potential oil reserves. Sam Eaton has more from our sustainability desk.
The Danish expedition trails Russia, which planted its flag in the North Pole seabed a few weeks back. Even the U.S. has sent an icebreaker to the Arctic to map claims. Climate change is shedding this vast frozen sea in a new light. As the ice melts, access is becoming easier. And with projections that the Arctic seafloor could hold as much as 25% of the world's untapped oil reserves, the stakes couldn't be any higher. George Newton is the former head of the U.S. Arctic Research Commission.
The basic essence is oil. And what countries want, and oil companies want before they begin drilling in the Arctic Ocean, is an element of certainty provided by a host country having a claim to the resources on the bottom and sub-bottom.
Proving that claim isn't easy. Under a UN treaty, Arctic nations like Denmark and Russia have to show that the seabed is a geologic extension of their existing territories. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.